must unlearn what you have learned.
Hello there. Come here, my little friend. Don't be afraid.
Away with your weapon! I mean you no harm!
Kill him. Kill him now. Do it.
You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Shooting the Sith. We are 30 days from this recording, 30 days from the release of The Rise of Skywalker. I am pumped. I know you're all pumped. You wouldn't be here if you weren't excited about what's to come for The Rise of Skywalker and the Star Wars franchise, the end of the Skywalker saga. Now, being that we're 30 days out, it's no surprise that we are getting some more information in regards to the movie. We have new Entertainment Weekly magazines coming out this week with pictures and articles coming out. We have a new trailer that has come out, not trailer, but TV spot that has come out that's showing new footage of things that we haven't seen yet. We have interviews with Daisy Ridley, with John Boyega, with J.J. Abrams, the casting of this movie. I mean, it's exciting. We're 30 days out. No surprise that we're getting this much information now. Obviously, we also have The Mandalorian. Two episodes are now released of it. We're coming up on episode 3 later this week. That show is fantastic. If you haven't checked out the show, go check it out now. If you have, you want to hear some of my reviews, there are a couple episodes that you'll find up on our website at scpod.net or on my podcast stream, Shooting a Sith. You will find episodes there where I talk about The Mandalorian. I have one for Chapter 1, I have one for Chapter 2, and I'm going to go through the entire first season that way. So make sure you subscribe to listen to those recaps and reviews of those episodes. What else? Oh, Jedi. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order came out this past week as well. I picked it up, checked it out. I've played about maybe an hour, hour and a half worth of the game. It is a fun game. It's excellent. The story is intriguing. The gameplay, I think, could be a little bit better. It does leave a little to be desired, but it is a fun time. So I want you all to check that game out as well. I, myself, or my buddy Colton Bird will be reviewing that game, whether it's on scpod.net or here on the podcast. Now, I want to get into this Entertainment Weekly stuff because it gives us a lot to talk about. It really does. We have a lot of stuff that we didn't know about the movie. Plus, we have that trailer, or TV spot, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep saying trailer, I apologize. But that TV spot that dropped today, that is, again, it gave us some footage. It kind of confirms some of the spoilers and rumors that came out of where and what this movie is going to give us. So, if you haven't had a chance to check out that TV spot, it's on my Twitter, at @rslavinsky. You'll find it there, or you can find it on the Spoiler Country Facebook group, or just go to Star Wars Facebook group or their Twitter. They have it there as well. So, the first article that they have released from the Entertainment Weekly special that's coming out this coming week is a bunch of interviews with J.J. Abrams and some of the other cast. And the big thing that they're talking about, and I want to just start this off quickly, or not quickly here, but at the beginning here, is J.J. Abrams. And the first line in this article is, J.J. Abrams is racing. He knows, and he talks about this, he knows how he was going to have 3 months less than he did to get this film done through post-production than he had with The Force Awakens. So he knew that there was less time to get this accomplished. However, the difference is this time around, he's working with people that have been around for the last 6 years, working on Star Wars nonstop, around the clock. They know it is like clockwork to them. They know what they're doing. They're getting it done. There was fewer reshoots. There was fewer things that they had to do, rewrites and such. So this movie, while they have less time to get it done, it's being done a lot more efficiently than they did with The Force Awakens. And this is what he says. We always knew we were going to have 3 fewer months to post-production this film. So much is still being worked on. It's literally a practical race to get it finished. That's where they're at right now. I mean, we're in November, 30 days away from the release of this movie. And to me, it sounds like they are still not completed. They still have not put it on a shelf, put on a thumb drive, ready to send to the theaters. They haven't gotten to that point yet. Which, hey, I mean, that's anymore. I remember with The Force Awakens, it was like a week prior they finished, quote-unquote, finished the movie, a week before the premiere, and they got it finished. They released the movie, and they still worked on post-production after the fact, because there are some things that were changed from the theatrical release to what came out digitally and on Blu-ray the next year. So, again, it's not surprising to me that they're at this point and still in post-production, but it's nice to see that they are full steam ahead. They're getting it done. There's no worries for it to not be released when it needs to be released. Although this does beg the question, could it be that every 2 years was a little bit quick for these films? Maybe they could have spread it out like George Lucas did, which was every 3 years. Would that have given them more time, or would that have just changed things around and they still would have only done it in 16 months as opposed to 24 months? You know, who knows? But either way, they're full steam ahead. Now, despite the crunch, this is what EW Entertainment Weekly says, the crunch to make the film's December 20th worldwide launch, Abrams says he's feeling infinitely better at this very late stage about The Rise of Skywalker than he was about The Force Awakens. As I said, and as he was saying, there were many more story adjustments on Episode 7 than this one. We didn't know if these characters would work, if the actors would be able to carry a Star Wars movie. There were a lot of things we didn't know. We knew who we had and who we were work with, and everyone is doing their best work on this one. But the ambition of this movie is far greater than The Force Awakens. What we set out to do was far more challenging. Everything is exponentially larger on this. So while everybody knows what they're doing and has been working around the clock, this movie absolutely sounds like it's going to be grander. It's going to be bigger than the last two movies, which, hey, I'm all for, because I want to see a big Star Wars movie. This is supposed to be the conclusion of the Skywalker saga. I want to see what it brings. Now, Disney has released 3 trailers for The Rise of Skywalker, and some of the shots are stunning and seemingly revealing desert scavenger turned Jedi apprentice Rey and First Order leader Kylo Ren clashing with lightsabers on a half-submerged wreckage of the second Death Star, which was blown up in The Return of the Jedi. Rey facing off against a somehow-resurrected Emperor Palpatine, the Millennium Falcon flying into a massive armada of Star Destroyers, plus those bewildering teases of Rey turning to the dark side and teaming up with Kylo. Yet Abrams says fans still don't really know anything. Oh man, does that excite me. That excites me, because one thing with movies nowadays is they give away so much of the movie in the trailers, in the previews, and that was one of my complaints about the trailer that was released. It was kind of like, they haven't given us what this movie is going to be about. But when you sit back and really think about it, do you want to know what it's going to be about? Let's go into this movie as blind as possible. Put your expectations to the side and just watch the movie and just be taken to a galaxy far, far away. That's what I want to have happen, and that's what I'm excited to see happen when this movie releases on December 20th. Now, John Boyega, he also was interviewed a bit, and he read the script, and when he read the script, he says that he had to read it another 6 times to fully understand what was going on in this movie. Not that it was confusing, but just that there is so much that's going on, you have to fully grasp it by reading it multiple times, which I hope this plays into rewatchability with this movie, because some of the great things about these Star Wars films is the rewatchability, and you catch little things here and there, when you're watching it again and again and again. That was some of my favorite things when I was a kid, watching the original trilogy and then the prequels, was just watching again and seeing things on the side, little Easter eggs and callbacks and such. I loved it. Hopefully that this movie does the same thing, but on a grander scale. So the article goes on and talks about, episode 9, but some interesting things that I wasn't completely aware of, because this wasn't made publicly, it wasn't publicly stated anywhere, but what they've learned is the First Order has decimated the Resistance. Rey has been training to use the Force. Finn and hotshot pilot Poe Dameron have been sent by General Leia Organa to find allies throughout the galaxy, but so far haven't had any luck. They're trying to put band-aids on this leaking ship of the Resistance, Isaac says. So, Oscar Isaac, who plays Poe Dameron, you know, he's sitting there talking about what his mission is in the movie. This is more than what we've gotten in any trailer. And now we know that they're on a mission to gather up as many supporters and as much support as they can to go against the First Order. I'm totally excited about that. Now, the mission leads Finn, Poe, and Rey to work together. So at some point, all three of them get together, which we haven't seen yet at this point in the trilogy. We saw Rey and Finn together. We saw Finn and Poe together. But we've not seen all three of them together, working together. Now, we're not just a ragtag group of people who have been thrown together, Isaac says. We've actually had time to train. There are some really great sequences with the three of us in infiltrating spaces. So, yes, we know that this movie is going to take place roughly a year, maybe a little more, since The Last Jedi. So, Rey has been training, Poe has been training, Finn has been training. They're much more adept in their roles within the Resistance than they were in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. That's exciting. Now, both Isaac and Boyega say they have had their character wishes granted for the final film. Poe really, like, Oscar Isaac wanted Poe to be more than just somebody sitting in a cockpit. And he wanted to be in the group and actually doing stuff. And Boyega wanted Finn to be a more capable soldier, somebody who wasn't just essentially a throwaway character like he was in The Last Jedi. Now, that's not his words, but that's my words. He basically was a throwaway character. You could have done away with his whole subplot in that movie of The Last Jedi, and you wouldn't have lost anything from that movie at all. So, again, he wasn't much of anything in The Last Jedi. Now, The Force Awakens, yeah, I had a lot of hope for him moving forward, and Rian Johnson kind of dropped the ball with that character in Episode 8. Now, Boyega says, I definitely wanted more for Episode 8. He wants to make Finn's Episode 8 arc make more sense. We got to bring out a side of Finn we haven't seen. So he says that The Rise of Skywalker is going to make Finn's Episode 8 arc make more sense. Hey, that's great, because not that it doesn't make sense, it just was pointless. So if it's going to make it better, and if this movie in turn makes Episode 8 better, I'm all for it. Abrams told the cast to feel free to improvise dialogue, and many scenes were shot using long, continuous takes to keep their flow going. JJ came back with a new energy and new vibe, Boyega says. He wanted dialogue to be messy and natural, and that got all of us really excited. I am so pumped about that. Here's the thing, I love JJ Abrams as a director. I think his storytelling can be a little suspect at times, but a director, he is one of the most visually beautifully directors out in Hollywood. He and Zack Snyder, I think, are two of my favorite visual directors there are. Now, they're both very different when they use their visuals and what they're using them for, but J.J. Abrams always looks so clean, crisp, and it's just visually stunning. But again, some of my issues with him were story and dialogue, even is some of the issue. And his dialogue didn't exactly fit completely with the Star Wars universe. Episode 7 nor Episode 8 were really Star Wars dialogue. And some of the best lines and things you hear from Harrison Ford and what Carrie Fisher used to say before she died, and even what Mark Hamill says, is the dialogue, you could put it on a page, you could read it, but you can't say that shit. Like, that you just can't say it. Like, it's impossible to say the dialogue that George Lucas would write. And that's what I want to see again in Star Wars. And I'm hoping that these actors are able to make the dialogue a little more Star Wars-y by being able to improvise. It's interesting that JJ went that route. I'm impressed that he wanted to go that way, and I'm impressed Kathy Kennedy allowed him to go that way with how this movie is really kind of like, this is where Star Wars is. We have no movie on the horizon after 8. We have a few TV shows coming up. But this is what's going to be leaving a taste in the fans and the audience's mouth for quite some time when it comes to theatrical release Star Wars. So I am a little shocked and surprised that they are giving the actors this much freedom. It's impressive, really, more than anything. Oscar Isaac actually adds, when talking about the dialogue and the messy and natural feel that you get from it, he goes, I think it really captures the spirit of the original trilogy. And then he goes, on top of that, there's fact that Ray has, and he stops and catches himself before he reveals anything else. Obviously, the interviewer's trying to get more, and he finally comes out and goes, Ray is driving her own thing. Daisy Ridley says, Ray is driving her own thing. She's not doing what other people are telling her to do. And, you know, it's interesting because Ray was driven in episode 7 by her motivation to find her family. She didn't care about anything else. She just needed to make sure that she was back on Jakku for her family who was coming to get her at some point in time. Come episode 8, she was only doing what she believed she had to do, was to get Luke, take him back to the Resistance, you know, face down the First Order with a laser sword and, you know, reign supreme and bring victory to the universe again. Her part in that was simply just getting Luke. She didn't realize that she had a bigger role in this entire story. So now she's at a point, it sounds like, where she now makes her own decision. She's now her own person. She's her own woman. She don't need no man to tell her what to do. And she's going to make sure that, that she's, or not her necessarily, but this story, what J.J. Abrams and them have put together, I think they're finally going to make sure that people realize that she is the hero of this trilogy, something that we haven't been 100% sure about in two movies. Let's see, what else? Abrams hints that the scavenger who is desperate and haggling for portions and trying to survive in The Force Awakens and has a special skills, that this special experience ends up being something that is essential to saving the galaxy. Ridley trained in kickboxing for the final chapter as well, but says the emotional toll on Rey's journey was more difficult than any combat scenes. It's a heavy story for Rey, Ridley says. There were days where I was literally like, I can't do this. I'm so tired. I don't know if I can, like, reach that emotion again. Part of Rey's journey involves solving the mystery of her identity. Well, again, Kylo revealed in The Last Jedi that Rey's parents are deceased nobodies, filthy junk traders, sold you off for drinking money. The line embraced the idea that a hero doesn't need to come from somebody special in order to be somebody special. Yet many fans called foul as the trilogy teased Rey's identity as being crucial information from the start. The little example that EW gives here is the moment when she meets BB-8 on Jakku, and, you know, Rey echoes back to BB-8, me too, about being a secret. You know, where'd you come from? It's a secret. You know, who are you? It's a secret. Yeah, me too. Like, that was the whole point. Like, JJ started this thing where her identity was a secret for a reason. The payoff of her being a nobody is not a payoff at all when you take a look at what JJ started. So the parents thing is not satisfied. Well, for her and for the audience, Ridley says, that's something she's still trying to figure out. Where does she come from? Now, it's unclear and unsure. We're still unsure right now if Abrams actually readdresses what Rian Johnson did in episode 8 and fixes and does a course correction change with what he did in that film. But either way, you know, I think people need to be prepared to either be revealed that she is a somebody and comes from a somebody, or that JJ just kept it and said, you know what, she's a nobody. It's not that she doesn't believe it, Ridley says carefully, but she feels there's more to the story and she needs to figure out what's come before so she can figure out what to do next. And that's when she's talking about what Kylo told her about her family being nobodies. An even bigger cliffhanger is the resolution of Rey's complex relationship with Kylo Ren. It's interesting because Kylo Ren, when he became, you know, Supreme Leader after killing Snoke, Adam Driver says that was kind of a birth moment for him. He had all those pseudo-father figures that he had to either live up to or literally kill to become his own person for the first time. And that's interesting because if you really think about it, he didn't kill Luke necessarily, but he was a proponent in Luke becoming one with the Force. He killed his birth father, Han Solo, and then he killed Snoke. You know, it's interesting to see how that plays out, because he, all of these figures in his life who he had to have looked up to at some point in time have all failed him in some form or fashion. And it was only by destroying them, destroying the past, getting past those failures that he sees that they did to him, was he able to become the Kylo Ren that we see at the end of Episode 8. Now, Kylo's destiny will lead to at least one lightsaber clash with Rey, EW says. Abrams sees the duo as two sides of the same coin, noting even when they're not together, they still haunt each other in a way they know they aren't each other's unresolved business. So, Driver rejects any labels for the Rey-Kylo relationship, you know, Reylo, as people call it. I don't think it's all one thing, he says. Part of the fun of playing it is the boundaries of keep changing. At times it's more intimate, sometimes less intimate, sometimes it's codependent, and then it's obviously adversarial. The fact that Rey and Kylo end up battling on the wreckage of the second Death Star continues Abrams' penchant for showcasing ruined relics of the original trilogy, EW says. Like Rey spelunking in a wrecked Star Destroyer and living in an AT-AT on Jakku. It felt like going into a haunted house that the place you have to go to. Abrams says of bringing back the iconic space station, this is a story of people having to grapple with the burden of prior generation dumps on those that follow. So literally returning to this wreck of the past and having to fight it out felt like an obvious metaphor, but also felt incredibly cinematic. Now, obviously, I think that's a great choice. I think it's awesome to go back. Also, the inclusion of Palpatine, which we'll talk a little bit about here in a minute. So much that there's going on in that movie, or in this movie, bringing it back to the original trilogy. I think that was actually a brilliant way of doing it. Connecting it to the OT as much as possible. Now, I think they had different intentions with Episode 7. But I think as J.J. Abrams has been able to sit back and kind of see the overview of what's going on with this trilogy, he's able to see what's going to work a lot better than has worked there than worked prior. Obviously, we do know that Fisher died prior to filming this movie, after filming The Last Jedi. So figuring out how to utilize Fisher's previously deleted scenes in a new movie was one of Abrams' biggest challenges. He goes, saying that Leia had passed away or that she was off somewhere else felt like a cheat, he says. Then I remembered we had these scenes that we hadn't used from Episode 7. It was like finding this impossible answer to this impossible question. Suddenly we had classic Carrie in these amazing moments. So when you see in the movie, it's her. She's there. It's not like there's some crazy digital trickery. She's just in the movie. I think that's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Obviously, Billy Dee Williams will be back as the pirate Lando Calrissian. Again, exciting. Let's see. C-3PO, he is taking on a bigger role in this movie than he has in the past. He's essential to the movie's plot, and for the first time since A New Hope. Ridley points out Rey might spend more time with 3PO than any other character in the film. Now, in previous recent movies, 3PO has just been kind of a window dressing. Something on the mantelpiece. You polish it and dust it off when guests are coming, says Anthony Daniels. JJ and Chris came up with this aspect of 3PO we had not seen before that's remarkably clever. They go down deep into ancient Star Wars and came up with something refreshingly new, which is really interesting. You know, they're doing something crazy with 3PO. He's been kind of, you know, in the backdrop a little bit here and there in the last two movies. Same with R2-D2. I want to see more of these characters that I grew up with, and it looks like they're going to use them in this movie. Now, joining 3PO is newcomer Carrie Russell. Now, she worked with J.J. Abrams in the past on Felicity, and she talks about when she read the script under Watchful Guard. Her character is Zori Bliss, who's involved in some intimate, sketchy stuff, and wears a long brass and crimson Daft Punk-like helmet, says EW. Now, for a shy person, this is my ultimate dream job, she says. I get to be in Star Wars, and my face is covered. I can see everyone, and no one can see me, though I now have a giant throbbing neck muscles like Mr. T. Then we also have another newcomer, Naomi Aki. She's playing Janna. She's the bow and arrow wielding warrior who rides a horse-like creature called an Orback. Now everybody talks about that big scene in the Monday Night Football trailer where we see the space horses running on the outside of a starship. She goes, where does she say here? She goes, I was really interested in ridden horse. So she goes, until you've ridden a horse dressed up like an exotic alien across the surface of the Death Star, you really haven't lived. I was just godsmacked. Aki says of the experience, every day you're grappling with the fact that every choice you make in a small moment is going to be broadcast to the entire world. So she's excited, and she also kind of gives away that they're running across the Death Star, it appears. Or maybe she just misspoke and it is a Star Destroyer. So many people are saying it was a Star Destroyer, but maybe it's the surface of the broken down Death Star in the ocean. Now, while the film introduces new characters, Abrams does insist Rise of Skywalker won't set up any future story. He's not leaving any loose ends for Disney to hang another trilogy directly onto the back of this one. Lucas's original dream of an intergalactic tale about a farm boy from Tatooine is at last about to set, just like those dreamy twin suns collapsing into the desert. Excuse me. It's a very good ending, and a good ending feels right, Anthony Daniels says simply. Now, finally, the one thing that we haven't talked about is Palpatine. Palpatine returns in the most closely guarded storyline in the film. How is the Emperor, who Vader tossed into the Death Star's reactor core, back in a seemingly corporeal form? This has been a very long chess match that's been played between the Jedi and the Sith, all the way back to the very beginning, Oscar Isaac teases. It's an amazing thing to see that really comes to the forefront. I tell you what, so we got a lot of information here. It's absolutely exciting and inspiring. I don't know why inspiring, but it's just exciting to see that the actors and the cast is just as excited as I am, and hopefully as all of you are, because this movie is going to be fantastic. I know it is. I have no doubt. I think that, look, The Force Awakens was a fantastic movie. It was an excellent movie. It had its flaws, absolutely. The Last Jedi kind of fell off a little bit. It wasn't quite as big, as exciting, as great as The Force Awakens was. It brings a lot to the franchise, makes some bold statements, some bold moves, but it didn't pay off like they wanted to, I don't think. I think J.J. is going to bring it back, and I think he's really going to come in, make some bold moves, some bold statements, but also send off the Skywalker saga as it should be sent off. Personally, I believe we're going to get a continuation of this saga in about 10 years, but for the time being, we have to believe that this is the end of the Skywalker saga. Unfortunately, that's what we have to believe. What do you guys think? What are you guys excited about? Did you read this article at EW? Not only that, but did you see the pictures? They have the new issues coming out, and they have three different cover variants. They have the prequel trilogy, original trilogy, and the sequel trilogy covers with various characters on each one. Looks absolutely stunning. I love the covers. I'm hoping to get all three. We got new pictures. Then that TV spot. Come on, that TV spot was so good. Well, it gave us a lot of same footage that we've gotten from the trailers that we've seen in other TV spots. This TV spot does add some more footage. One thing that I really liked was that moment. It looks like it's on a Star Destroyer. It's some First Order ship, and the Falcon is kind of taken off. The Millennium Falcon's taken off, and the blue from the engine is blowing back, and you see stormtroopers flying around, but Kylo Ren is holding on, pushing forward, and you see Rey running and jumping into the Millennium Falcon. You see a quick little glimpse of that scene in this TV spot, and that just took me back, and I was just like, I was just taken aback by it. I was like, this is fantastic. Like, this movie is going to be amazing. It truly is going to be amazing. I can't wait for it. We're 30 days away. Colton, myself, and a couple other people are going to be at the Lowe's Waterfront Lowe's Theater in Pittsburgh, PA on December 19th. We're seeing the 5 o'clock showing. That's the earliest showing that they have in this area. I can't wait to see it. I hope all of you are going to be there. Find us. We'll be wearing our Spoiler Country Shooting the Sith t-shirts. You know, find us. We'll talk. I want to try and get some interviews from people before and after the movie, hopefully, that I can put up on the podcast. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope you all are, too. I mean, this is an exciting, exciting time. Again, The Mandalorian just came out. Two episodes in, you know, I have a couple episodes talking about it. If you haven't checked it out, you can get Disney Plus for free for a week. Why not give it a shot? Check it out. See if you like it. I'm telling you, it's an excellent show. It takes you back to that old Star Wars original trilogy feel. And just so much more. All right. With that all said, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Robert Slavinsky. I've been the host of Shooting the Sith. Make sure you find us and follow me on Twitter at rslavinsky. Find us on Facebook. Look up Spoiler Country. You'll find us on Facebook. You can find all your Star Wars and Shooting the Sith needs at scpod.net. Hashtag Spoilerverse. You'll find anything that's related to Shooting the Sith or Spoilerverse or Spoiler Country by searching hashtag Spoilerverse on Twitter. Even on Facebook, you can search it and you'll find stuff. It's amazing. Great time. Thanks for listening. I will talk to you all next week. May the Force be with you. Are you looking for that one-stop shop for all your pop culture needs? Well, look no further than scpod.net. At scpod.net, you will find podcasts, comic talk, movie talk, TV talk, and all the in-between. So join us and open your mind to all your nerdy and non-nerdy desires. Just search for us at scpod.net. That's scpod.net. And we'll see you in the Spoilerverse.